Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is going to be in Chicago a few times in 2018, whether it's Subterranean in Wicker Park on the 30th or Lollapalooza this summer. You'll want to get out and see Sydney, Australia's Gang of Youths. Australian band now based in London is tearing it up this year with an American tour right now, and of course the big news that they'll be back in Chicago and Lollapalooza in August. The band's touring to promote their latest album, Go Farther in Lightness. The indie rockers just played South by Southwest, and they made their U.S. television debut on Seth Meyers earlier in the month, and like I said, we'll be at Subterranean Wicker Park coming up next Friday night. David Laupepe is the frontman for the band, and he joins me now. Dave, thanks for taking some time out. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, mate. Good to be here.
Chicago means a lot to your band, but also you have been through this town. Talk about what it means to be not only playing Subterranean coming up, but to be on the bill at Lollapalooza.
Oh, man. So our keyboardist, guitar player, Jung, was born in Chicago. He was born in the Chicago metropolitan area. And the first time he'd ever been back in 12 years was the night we played at Schubert's. It's a pretty important city for us. Yeah, it's like, it's the epicenter of all the music that we really love, too. So one of my favorite albums is made in Chicago. So it's a pretty important place for us, I guess, spiritually and historically. We didn't think we'd ever make it to a U.S. festival, let alone the big one, so... It's pretty cool.
You know, you're on an American tour right now. You know, I'm so interested because it's a very interesting tour because reading all about, you know, you had problems with the guitar, you guys, your van got broken into in Nashville. But at the same time, yeah. The stories, I mean, you guys are just tearing it up. Everywhere you go, people are excited about the shows. You're sold out. It's kind of contrast in the way that there are things that go wrong. But at the same time, you're having one hell of a tour.
It's kind of a nice little microcosm, like a little allegory for life, though, right? You know, I guess... punctuating all the moments of triumph, there are moments of great disappointment, and kind of like it's a strange contrast for us, but I think we've kind of put up with a lot of strange stuff over the past 6 years and a lot of adversity, so this is kind of just taken in stride for us. It's not really a huge thing. I mean, the only thing was a bunch of stuff for album 3 got stolen on one of the laptops that was taken from our van, so it's kind of back to square one in that regard, but it's all right. Interesting that people actually care about us, which is something that we're not used to in America.
Obviously, the Go Farther in Lightness, the album, is so impressive, and it's got such great reviews. But also, there is a tremendous interest in, when you talk about adversity, your story, and it goes back, and people can find it online, but at such a young age, you face such adversity. When things like this happen to you, where you have to go back to square one with the record, or you have to deal with the fact that you got robbed, or stuff breaks on tour, you do have a life perspective on this.
Honestly, it's just part of the fabric of what makes a life interesting and unique and important. And I think triumph over adversity and this sense of Nietzschean overcoming is kind of woven into the fabric of what we are as a band. And all these kind of moments of futility and strangeness and all these kind of tumultuous beginnings manifest in something kind of important at the end, you know. So I'm not the kind of person who thinks that the loss of this material, for example, or album 3 is a bad thing. It just gives me an opportunity to refine what was kind of there present, you know, within my mind's palette and try to pick the stuff that was actually okay and ignore the stuff that was garbage. Because I'm a big believer in, like, if it sticks with me for, like, more than 2 weeks, it's probably usable. So it's not, like, a huge deal. I just feel like the uniting human experience, the sense of loss, grief, anxiety, displacement, a sense of loneliness is really bonding. Even the small, kind of seemingly first world moments of grief that we experience are uniting in a way that most other things aren't. So, you know, it's a learning experience, it's a learning curve, but we kind of try to be interchangeable about it and try to be adaptable.
Yeah, and, you know, just make a transition to the music, because all of the things that you're just talking about when you're talking about adversity, and I think of the music and it's so expressive. The song's about love, but they're also about pain, they're about empathy. You know, you've had such life experiences at such a young age. Where do you draw your songwriting from? Where does it come from? Does it have to be a life lived before you can pen it and put it into song?
I've always said that I'm probably better at documenting the comings and goings and ins and outs of my own personal experience rather than being a strictly off-the-basis songwriter. You know, I quite envy people who are able to just pull something out of their soul at any given moment. For me, I'm not very prolific, and it takes me a long while to be able to kind of concoct or conjure up anything worthwhile songwriting-wise, because, yeah, I have to kind of live it. I have to experience it firsthand. You know, I'm not one of those people who takes the Kicker Guardian adage lightly. You know, like, I believe that life is a reality to be experienced, you know, and I am better at documenting that than I am at just kind of being able to wave my hands and make something beautiful. So I think there's an element of slow pace within the confines of what I do, but it all kind of has to come from somewhere. And I think that's where a lot of the great, honest songwriting kind of came before me. And I'm not kind of like I don't want to be pretentious about it, but I am a believer in writing things that are human and relatable and ambitious. Yeah. I don't think I'm able to do that without a sense of respect for my life experience and my respect for my context. Maybe that's a rare thing, but I don't know.
It totally makes sense too, and it also plays, as you mentioned, that slow pace, and I want to ask you about this. There really is a patient feel to the record and to the music, and a diversity, but it's a diversity of sound, meaning you'll have one song that is that sort of arena rock, that kind of, you know, you guys are really sort of, and then at the same time you can have this beautiful strings rendition of Guns N' Roses, or you're able to slow it down and do just stuff that is really melodic and patient. How important is it when you guys set out to put a record out to think about the pace, to think about diversifying the songs that you put on the album?
We don't want to make anything that doesn't feel like it's the most important thing we've ever made. And I think the ambition to create bodies of work that are significant to us in the hope that they could be significant to other people is the prime motivation. And I think our record, Go Father and Lightness, is probably a really good distillation as to who I am as a person. I'm someone you need to be quite patient with. And I'm long-winded and drawn out, and occasionally too mouthy and wordy and prone to navel-gazing. So 77 minutes, I think, is a long time to expect of anybody in this day and age. But I believe wholeheartedly, if you require a great deal of patience, you better return the favor, and you better return something worth being patient for. And I feel like in terms of the architecture of our opus, you know, the architecture of our pieces of work, we do endeavor to create things that feel like a great labor of love. That feel like it had some significant moments of thought put into it, that it's not just an afterthought thought, it's not just some kind of cynical gesturing, you know? And I think there's a lot of conjecture right now about whether or not albums are as important as singles, and, you know, the market's probably saying no, they're not, but I'm a firm believer in not capitulating to the whims of the market, but, you know, attempting to, like, restore to people who want to listen something valuable in their listening experience, you know, something that requires a great deal of immersion and respect, and I really like that, you know? It might not be for everyone, but it's something that I care about.
And you feel it too, and that's what really grabs the ear as well. The strings, you've arranged the strings, and I guess my final question is, and you see more and more of the reviews that come out, and people have seen you on tour, this tour, a lot of people say Gang of Youths are destined for arena rock. They're destined to be on the big stage, you know, playing the Lollapaloozas of the world from here on out. When you talk about, you know, pushing back against what the market wants, do you see your band going in that direction? Do you see yourself finding a niche on the big arenas of the world as opposed to the more soft and patient and beautiful stuff that we've been hearing from Gang of Youths?
Oh, man. Do I envision us in arenas? No, but I'd like to play every room like it was an arena. I think the audience deserves that, and I think that's how I wanted to spend my life. I always think about the great hardcore punk bands. I always think about the great post-hardcore punk bands. I always think about Cro-Mags. I think about Combat Kid, and I think about Fugazi. I think about the bands that played as if they were playing for the world, but they were playing with 20, 30 kids. I think that's the great pursuit of what it is to make redemptive, meaningful rock and roll. Do I think we'll be on an arena? No, but I would like to play as if I am in one, because I genuinely believe in the redemptive power of rock and roll music. Mm. I think it's a transformative art that's been kind of wasted the past 20 years, and I would like to, you know, make my life mean something in that regard and return it to some sense of atoning glory. That's what I want. So I don't know if that means arenas, but dude, if it's like 30 people, I don't care. Joy Division started in a room of 20 people at Manchester City Trade Hall at Sex Pistols. I don't care. It can't really be about us and what we want anymore. It's about, like, I don't know, it's about Pacific Islander kids in Australia or black and Aboriginal kids in Australia seeing, you know, people our colour making rock and roll music. It's about doing something that's meaningful to us, that we care about, because I believe I was put on the earth for some reason, even if it's a small one, and that's to kind of destroy apathy wherever I find it. That's just what I want to do.
No, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. The band Gang of Youths is going to be at Subterranean coming up on the 30th, and then Lollapalooza this summer. David Laupepi is the frontman for the band Gang of Youths, and he took some time out tonight. I appreciate it, David. Thanks so much for talking with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, man, and you actually nailed the pronunciation of my last name, so well done.
There will be no years of silence in the shadow of regret. I won't let a soul betray me, though my soul got used to it. I will look at love as more than just an instrument of pain, and will give myself completely to the moving and the strange. Cause I'm